Hi, you're listening to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church in Ogden, Utah. My name is John Draskovic. I'm the pastor here. And what you'll hear is the message, the sermon from the week's worship before. And you can always check out the full service that has the music and our prayers and liturgy on our YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, you can just search First Presbyterian Church Ogden and you can find us there. We've got all our services recorded, including the most recent live stream of our service. I hope you enjoy this podcast and you find it to be a blessing. Grace and peace, my friends, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the podcast for our worship service from Palm Sunday, which was Sunday, March 24th. So we're going to be talking about Jesus' triumphal entry. We're going to be talking about how the disciples who are accompanying him and those who were showing up to Jerusalem that Passover festival, maybe how that was experienced. And we're also just going to we're going to delve a little bit into the ambiguity of that experience of this high moment, which turns into, as we go through the week, because we're looking at Holy Week coming up and then Easter Sunday next Sunday, what a dip that is, and then the high point on Easter Sunday. But man, it's so hard to tell sometimes what is what in the moment. So we're going to explore some of that. Okay, well, let's get into it. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come before you today seeking to hear a word of life. We enter into your story, this great mystery of our faith, that you voluntarily went to Jerusalem, knowing what lied for you there. And so, Lord, we seek to follow you as people who know that being faithful will sometimes mean pain. It'll sometimes mean fighting against the ways of this world. But we have faith and we have confidence that if we follow you, we can never be truly hurt. We can never truly die. For our life is in you. We pray it in his name. Amen. Okay, yeah, there's little palm branches all over the place up here. I want to help us embody this story today, really enter into it together. You know, these, as a pastor, these Sundays are some of the hardest because we do them over and over and over again, year after year. And I always think, like, what is there new to say about this? And sometimes there isn't anything new. We're just reminding ourselves of what we already know. And so we're going to enter into this story that you've heard probably many, many times before. Now, this is the year in the lectionary we're in Mark's gospel, and Mark has his own unique way of telling this story. And right before we get to Palm Sunday, Jesus and his disciples are in Jericho, and he has just healed a blind beggar there. Now, the reason I bring that up is because they're in Jericho. Jericho is right off the coast, the north coast of the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, if you remember, is the lowest place on earth. It's about 1,400 feet below sea level. And Jericho is the lowest city on planet Earth. That's about 800 feet below sea level. Now, they're making their way from 800 feet below sea level to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Jerusalem's about 3,000 feet above sea level. So if you do the math there, that's nearly 4,000 feet of elevation climb. And it's only about a dozen miles between the two. 4,000 feet is like if you were to hike Malin's Peak twice. It's steep. And so they make this journey climbing up all the way into until they get to the Mount of Olives, which is like a stone's throw, a major league center fielder's stone's throw from Jerusalem. And that's when you get the first view of the city. And you actually, that's the first time you see anything green, because up to that point, it's all hot, dusty, stony desert. And so you've been climbing all day uphill about a dozen miles in the heat. The dust is like in your mouth and it's in your nose. And it's safe to say that you're pretty excited when this journey is over. It's excitement, not just because you're done with this climb, but also you're there. You're at Jerusalem, the Passover festival. And the Passover was one of the three big festivals where everybody was supposed to head to Jerusalem and go to the temple and make their sacrifices every year. So it's like their Christmas and Easter kind of wrapped up into one. But it's more than just showing up to church on Christmas or on Easter, because it would be like if you went at Christmas to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, right? Like you were there where it happened. Or on Easter Sunday, you went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre just outside of the city walls. Right? The temple in Jerusalem, in Judaism, was like the Axis Mundi. It was the place where heaven and earth were connected. This was the place where God said, my presence is going to fully dwell there. If you go all the way back into the book of Kings, when Solomon builds this temple and dedicates it, the presence of the Lord fills the temple so much that the priests can't even go inside it. This is the place where Israel was said they were guaranteed to have their sins forgiven, where they can go and make those sacrifices so they knew they were right with the Lord. And this was the place and this was the time of the year when they would be reminded of the great stories of their faith. They'd be telling stories about their slavery in Egypt, which we're going to get to in a couple of weeks, as a matter of fact. They'd be telling stories about God's rescue and liberation, about that last plague, that last sign, where Pharaoh finally let the people go, where the destroyer passed over their homes. You would hear stories of freedom, stories of liberation and of hope. And you'd be singing, and you'd be dancing, and you'd be praying, and you'd be feasting, and you'd be seeing your old relatives that, hey, Uncle Ted, how's it going? You know, Grandpa Don would be there. And Cousin Dolores would show, you hadn't seen her, hey, how are the kids? The mood would be electric, excitement, this sense of like, this is who we are. We're a people, and we've got a plan. We've got a future. We've got promises that have been made to us. And those promises, they're going to happen any day now. And I want you to embody, to get this sense for the mood that you would be in as you made that long journey up and you saw Jerusalem and you entered into the excitement of the festival that was going on, because you had this sense, especially Jesus' disciples who were there with him, that there was a messianic event. The Messiah, our guy, my boy, Jesus, he's the one who's going to make it happen. God's saving presence is going to be made real in a whole new way. Like, watch out, Rome, here it comes. And everything that Mark tells us about that trip up to Jerusalem and how Jesus arrives there, it emphasizes that there is an expectation that this kingdom is coming. And Jesus is that king. Now, he doesn't just walk into Jerusalem, you know, like, hey guys, what's up? No. He rides it. And the word that it's actually in Matthew where it talks about it being a donkey. Matthew really emphasizes the humility piece here. Mark doesn't say that. He just says a colt. Could be a donkey, could be a young horse. But he rides it like a king rides it. And the people, they spread their cloaks down on that hot, dusty, stony road. And now, you don't do this for a good friend. You don't do this for Grandpa Don. You do this for royalty. You spread your cloak down so that even the donkey that, or the horse that he's riding on, doesn't have to ride on the ground. And then they go out into the fields and they cut branches down from the trees and the bushes, and they're waving them, and they lay them down on the ground there. Again, this isn't something you do for just anybody who's showing up because it's exciting and you're happy. No, this is something that you do to welcome a king. And we know that because 200 years before Jesus, Jerusalem was under rule of the Seleucids, a different group of people who were in power at the time. And there was this family called the Maccabees who led a revolt, an uprising. And the leader of this, who I love his name is Judas Maccabeus. His nickname was the Hammer. And you have to say it that way like you're Arnold, right? So when Judas the Hammer shows up and he kicks the king who was there ruling over Jerusalem at the time, Epiphanes, Antiochus Epiphanes, when he kicks him out, he throws him off. He goes into Jerusalem and he's going in to cleanse the temple because they had desecrated the temple, and he's going to repair the temple. And what do the people do? They go out and they cut these branches down and they cut ivy and stalks from the field, and they're waving them, and then they throw them down at his feet because he is the new king who's showing up. So when Jesus is doing this, and Mark tells us about it, everybody there is thinking, this is the new hammer. He's coming in to lay down the law and to throw the yoke of Rome off. And not only that, but they're singing a hymn, right? The Psalms that we say every week together, they were meant to be sung. And there's a group of psalms in particular, which are called psalms of ascent. Because literally, Jerusalem was like the highest thing around. So as they would travel up to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. And Psalm 118, the one that we shared today, is one of those psalms of ascent. And so they cry out, Hosanna, as they're quoting this psalm. Hosanna, there's no one word in English that translates directly from the Hebrew here. It's kind of a challenging word, but in essence, Hosanna means praise God who is about to save us, like now, in the present. Praise be to the God who's here and who's going to save us. And in the middle of this chant from the Psalm 118, they insert this really dangerous prayer. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed, welcome to the kingdom of David. Whoa, wait a minute. There's already a kingdom that's there. And it's got a king. His name is Caesar. Now you're talking about another king and another kingdom. Well, this in Hebrew and Aramaic, this blessed is the one who comes is another way of saying welcome. It's like welcome. The one who comes in the name of the Lord. The one who's going to kick Rome's butt out of here and say, good riddance to you. Welcome to the one who's going to restore our independence, our dignity, right? Let's just be honest. This is about dignity. We're feeling like we've just been kicked when we're down. And I'm tired of it, sick and tired of it. And then Jesus, when he shows up, and they're singing, and they're cutting the branches down, and he's riding in like the king, and everybody's excited, and they're like, it's finally going to happen. We're getting us back. We're going to be who we really are. He goes into the temple, and nothing happens. It is so anticlimactic. He shows up, and it's like, oh, you guys are all gone for the day? Oh, are you sure late? Okay, fine. And so he kind of looks around, and he's, okay, now's not the right time. And he heads back home. He goes back to his hotel room for the week. But that's not where it ends. Because all of this is to show us that Jesus is going to be a king, but he's going to be a different kind of king than the Hama was. right? The disciples are believing that Jesus is the true, the rightful king of Israel. And his entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is like his royal reception. And over the next couple chapters, Mark will go on to show us what it means for Jesus to redefine what it is to be the king. And this isn't the kind of king, this isn't the kind of royalty, this isn't the kind of kingdom that Israel was expecting. They wanted Judas the Hammer Maccabeus to show up. It's not the kind of king that the world expected either. And one of the ways that we see this is his triumphal entry into Jerusalem really wasn't all that triumphant at all. It lacked the finale, the grand event at the end. That's why that he goes into the temple and it's so anticlimactic. Like nothing actually happens there because things were supposed to happen. I think Mark makes a big deal about that because something was supposed to happen at that moment. Right? The messianic touch was supposed to be put on the end of this story. The procession should have ended with this. He goes into the temple and like a king coming home from war in victory, makes the ritual sacrifice at the temple. It should have ended with the expulsion of Rome. Get out. This is my town. It should have ended with a banquet, a celebration, but none of those things actually happened. Because this story has a unique turn to it. This story doesn't end the way everybody thought it was gonna. And if you've spent any time in the church, you know where this is going, right? There's one of the great philosophers of the modern era, the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard, who's my favorite Kierkegaard. He made a really profound statement. And it's one of my favorite observations that he made about the nature of life. He said, life can only be understood backwards, but it has to be lived forward. And if you think about that for a second, right? It's usually only in hindsight, it's in retrospect that you figure out what was actually going on in your life or within you or in a situation. When you're in it, in the moment, it's really rare that we actually understand what's going on. The unfortunate part is there's only one way to live, from the present to the next moment. The understanding comes when we can look back. The understanding. Which means that when we're in the moment, things are not always as they seem. We often misunderstand the situation while we're actually in them. Sometimes we think we're in the great moment, the pinnacle, the peak, the paramount moment of our life. And it turns out that it was actually the beginning of a long, slow decline into the lowest of lows. And other times, we think that we are at that low moment. We are at the nadir of our life. Like things couldn't get any worse. That's when the car drives by and splashes the puddle up on you. But it ends up in hindsight being that this was actually the first step of a new glorious beginning in your life. But unfortunately, we usually can't tell except in hindsight. Well, Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, this thing that we celebrate every year at Palm Sunday, is kind of like that. They all thought it was the pinnacle. They thought it was the moment when everything was about to happen. They thought that this was the victory. This was the big win for Team Jesus. But we know how the story is going to turn out, right? They've got to go down. This was actually the moment where things really started to come off the rails. Because they got to go through Good Friday first. They got to see one of their own buddies, one of their close associates, betray him. But then they'll find out that it was actually at that lowest of low moments that the victory was actually won. And that was the beginning of the new great thing. But they didn't know it at the time. It was only in hindsight. They just didn't know what it was at the moment. And I get that. I've been there. I know that. And so do you. You've been there too. And so it can be a really, actually, it's really hard being a follower of Jesus, by the way. Try to inhabit this Christian story where the low moment is actually the high one, and the high one is sometimes the low one. Try to be a follower of a God whose story of healing and rescuing the world is through self-sacrifice, giving yourself up for the sake of a world. It's really hard to be a follower of Jesus without being uncomfortable with this kind of tension that exists. Is it a paradox, if you will? Ambiguity. It's kind of like how, you ever heard this, how our greatest strength can also be our greatest weakness, and our greatest light casts our greatest shadow? Like that, there's something so deeply true about that. And so as we enter into this week, this holy week, enter it with your eyes open for the unexpected. Enter it with your eyes open to the ambiguous, tension-filled, paradoxical way that God works in the world. And enter into it with your mind open, with this tension-filled, ambiguous, paradoxical way that God may be working in your lives. And know that whatever struggle it is that you're enduring right now, it may actually be the first humble step to a new beginning. And because we'll see over the next week, the God that we follow that has been revealed in Jesus is somewhat of a specialist at bringing life out of death. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this journey that you underwent in Jesus. That so hits home for us. That we can reflect on and understand and see in our own journey where the highs sometimes end up being lows and the lows sometimes end up being the highs. And so, Lord, help us to embrace the ambiguity, the paradox, the tension. Embrace the darkness of not knowing in the moment. Trusting that one day we will understand what was happening, even if we don't right now. Help us to enter into this story with you, with those disciples who were so confused, who were so thrown off, who did not understand, and yet ended up being faithful in the end. Faithful to themselves and faithful to you. And so, Lord, most of all, we ask that you help us to be faithful wherever we are in our life. If it's a Palm Sunday moment or it's a Good Friday moment, may we be faithful to you, knowing that when we are, we're being who you made us to be, our true self. We pray it in his name, the Lord, the Savior. Well, my friends, thank you for spending your time with us here at First Presbyterian Church in Ogden. If you're ever around on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., come and join us. We'd love to have you here. We're located at 880 28th Street in Ogden. And if you would like to watch the service, you can participate more fully in the liturgy of our worship. You can go to our YouTube channel, and under the live button, you can see all of our live streams. And if, of course, we would really love it if you could support our ministry financially. It takes finances to be able to make this podcast and our live stream and pay the salaries and keep the doors open and do the ministry that we do. So you can go to our website, www.fpcogden.org, and you can give that way. Well, thank you, friends, and we'll see you back here for Easter Sunday next week.